Whether you're making a push for your fantasy playoffs or you are already locked in, it's never a bad idea to be looking at your waiver wire, especially after this past week where a ton of running backs got hurt and some wide receivers stood out. So these are the guys that you should be looking to add to your roster, and let's start with this RB. And that takes us to New England, where Ezekiel Elliott quickly now becomes a must add. He's available in nearly 70% of leagues, and probably based on that, yours. Look, here's the deal. Zeke has been somebody who's seen usage all year long. He's had some nice flash weeks. You probably had him on your bench, but now he might be worth considering as an actual starter, because as my friend SportsMD Analysis on Twitter points out here, Ramondre Stevenson, it looks like it's a high ankle sprain based on the overall video that he was looking at in the injury we saw on TV. Now obviously we'll see, but by the time you're watching this, maybe the reports come out on if it is or not. And if it is a high ankle, you're going to get him missing at least 3 weeks. And if that's the case, you have a starter down the stretch in Ezekiel Elliott, not just for his team, but for your fantasy team and even into the postseason. Now once Ramondre left, Zeke operated as the main workhorse back against the Chargers. This was a solid matchup for him. The game remained close. I mean, it finished 6-0, so they could stay and run script if they wanted to. And Zeke totaled right here over 90 yards. 21 touches is the big one. He basically took over Ramondre's role the past few weeks of 20 plus touches. So this was a pretty nice day. And look, I get it. Nobody wants to touch this Patriots offense. It's maybe the worst in the league outside of the Panthers and their quarterback situation. Bailey Zappe starting last week isn't great. But Zeke is the next man up. He has experience. He can catch passes and he's good in the red zone if they ever get there. You could do a lot worse, especially this late in the season. Now let's pivot to a wide receiver who was in this video last week, yet he's still available in over 50% of leagues, close to 60% of leagues, and that's Curtis Samuel for the Washington Commanders. In week 13, the Commanders' offense was pretty terrible. Sam Howell didn't play well. They got blown out by Miami, but Curtis Samuel continued to be a bright spot. It wasn't a massive day for Samuel, but he did go out there and have 65 receiving yards. This was double, more than double, almost triple any other receiver on the team, and he had a team-high 5 targets. So this was an average day. Maybe you put him in your flex spot and you got something from this. Now, over his last 6 games, Curtis Samuel has been flex-worthy in 5 of his last 6 healthy games, and he averages 7 targets over his last 7 games. And he's on a bit of a hot stretch now over these last 2 games, being the leading receiver for Sam Howell. Because in week 12 on Thanksgiving, if you remember, you might have been watching this game, one of the most watched games of the year, at least for the start of it, before it became somewhat of a blowout, and you could see 12 targets here for Samuel hit the 100-yard mark. Now, he's going to go on the bye week this week, which maybe gives him even a little bit more of a chance to get healthy. He was injured about a month ago, and that messed him up for a couple of weeks. And more importantly, when he comes out of the bye week for your final chance to maybe make the fantasy playoffs or improve your seeding if you're in the playoffs, he'll have a nice matchup on the road against the Rams, a Rams offense that can propel some shootouts. Both these teams love to throw the ball, and the Rams secondary ranks in the bottom 10 in coverage grades against receivers. So in terms of getting you to the postseason, if you're in a league that has multiple flex spots, which are the best leagues or just deep benches, Curtis Samuel should be on your team. And so should Roschon Johnson, who maybe is the number one priority add, depending on what happens with some of these other running back injuries, like a Ramondre Stevenson, how long he will be out. Zeke's up there, but Roschon is available in much more leagues right now. The rookie is actually available in 80% of leagues, and he's coming off of a career high and season high debt. Because as our official data partner Fantasy Life points out right here, Roschon Johnson in week 12, before his bye week in Monday Night Football, when they beat the Vikings, so this was a close game, not some sort of blowout, 75% of the snaps. Now that's important because Khalil Herbert was active for this game. And Roschon turned in a nice performance. Again, 15 opportunities, 15 touches, 5 receptions. That's what he was known for earlier this year, catching passes, pass protection. He can kind of be a 3 down back. That's what we saw here. He turns 15 touches into 75 yards, a solid day against a not so easy run defense in Minnesota. And look, this is the perfect time for him to see this usage because it's late in the season for a rookie. They normally see more usage and he enters the bye week, which is typically a time we see even larger role increases during that extra week to implement a rookie into the offense. And if he starts seeing more opportunities and more touches, it's only going to lead to big fantasy days, even in this Bears offense, because right now Roschon Johnson this season ranks top 20 amongst all running backs in the NFL in fantasy points per opportunity. The more opportunity he gets, the more points he's going to get. Now after his bye week, it's not easy matchups for him. A matchup against the Lions isn't easy. The Browns is pretty brutal, although the Browns defense is a little bit banged up right now. But after that, as he enters the fantasy playoffs, maybe the best matchup, probably the best you can find against the run at home against the Cardinals. And we should point out, if they get down in these games, he's a nice pass catcher. He can bail you out with a 4 or 5 reception performance. So Roschon is really a running back who can take a step forward and be a league winner down the stretch here. And so is this next guy. And that's Tajay Spears for the Tennessee Titans. And the reason why he's on this list is really he's just a great running back, seeing touches every single week. But Derrick Henry did leave last week with injury. Now Henry left this game and it was reported that he was placed in the concussion protocol. This was reported by a lot of prominent reporters, and then Mike Vrabel comes out on Friday or on Monday and says no, Derrick Henry was never put in the concussion protocol, even though they announced to the media that he was ruled out with a head injury and concussion. So this is a little bit murky here. It is important to find this out because very few players, and at the running back position, I think really only Alexander Mattison has returned from a concussion the next week. They've gotten a lot stricter with these head injuries and concussions. So if it is indeed a head injury or some form of concussion, symptoms can usually take a couple days to show up for Derrick Henry. There might be a chance Tajay Spears, the rookie, starts this week. And that's important because when when he's been given opportunities this season, he's been great. Like last week against Indy in a solid matchup, he puts up 20 total touches. He goes for 22 opportunities. They were leaning on him in the fourth quarter and in overtime where he had a couple of explosive runs. And an explosive run, a breakaway run, is a run of 15 or more yards. And this is what this guy does. He is an explosive, dynamic player. Check this out. So far this season, Tajae Spears ranks 11th in yards per touch. That's great. 5.5 yards per clip. And look at this. His juke rate is number one, and his explosive run rate, his breakaway run rate, the amount of runs he has per attempt that are 15 or more yards, is number one in the NFL. 10% of his touches, over 10%, are going for 15 plus yards. So all of this is great for Tajae Spears. Now, this murkiness of what Vrabel said on Monday does give some questions on, is Derrick Henry just going to return? Either way, though, Spears is the type of running back you want on your roster for a playoff push. You see, Zach Moss is now an instant starter with Jonathan Taylor done. Well, yeah, that could happen to Tajae Spears if something happens to Henry. Now, if Henry was to miss in week 14, it's not a great matchup. Maybe they just keep him out for precaution because they're 13-point underdogs against Miami. You can actually run on Miami. Brian Robinson was doing that for a career high day in the first half before injury last week. The problem is just you get far behind, now you're forced to pass the ball, but Tajae Spears can catch passes. So even if they're 13-point underdogs, he's still a flex option if Derrick Henry misses. Now this next guy, maybe he's not a flex option for this week, but he's the number one handcuff in fantasy available in over 80% of leagues. But before we get there, there's only a couple more weeks till the season is over and we are oh so close to 100,000 subscribers. 66% of people who watch these videos aren't subscribed. It takes 2 seconds to hit it. A lot of people just don't know that they're not. Maybe you didn't know you were new to the channel or not. And you just thought you were. Well, just take 2 seconds and hit that subscribe button. Now that running back I'm talking about is Elijah Mitchell. In my main league where I've been playing for like 10 years with all my buddies from home, somebody dropped him and I just picked him up and I thought it was great. This late in the season to get Elijah Mitchell, you might be saying, oh, he has like one or two touches a week. Yeah, I get that. But he is the clear-cut running back backup to Christian McCaffrey, who has had injuries in the past, who has had a large workload this year. We don't want to wish an injury upon anybody, but if it was to happen, Elijah Mitchell instantly becomes a top 10 running back. So you might as well add him now before he becomes a number one waiver ad and you missed out on him and somebody else in your league who you might have to face in the postseason gets him, because we've seen injuries too. Derrick Henry, Ramondre, Brian Robinson, Jonathan Taylor, just these last 2 weeks alone. It could happen. And you might be saying, oh, but Jordan Mason might be involved. No, earlier this year, Jordan Mason saw more touches because Elijah Mitchell was banged up in the game that he returned from injury when Christian McCaffrey had to leave for a little while. In his rookie year, you can see right here, he was a workhorse back, top 16th overall in running back efficiency on the ground. And he has the speed, he has the dynamic ability, and he can catch passes. At this point in the season, in my opinion, it's extremely rare to find the number one handcuff in fantasy football on your waiver wire, yet he's available in over 80% of leagues, because I get it, McCaffrey has the large role. If something happens to McCaffrey, you just had a league winner on your team this late in the year. And maybe not a guy who will win you your leagues, but if you're in a desperate situation, you can pick up and stash Antonio Gibson, who's available in over 50% of leagues, because Brian Robinson did just get hurt. Robinson left that game with a hamstring injury, and if this is any type of severe hamstring injury, it could be a 3 to 4 week recovery when it comes to running backs. Now, a lot of the times, if it's just a mild hamstring, they can get back in action in 2 weeks, but there is a decently high re-injury rate. Now, I point out these timelines because the Commanders are going on bye. They're one of two teams with the Arizona Cardinals with the week 14 bye, the final bye weeks of the season. So maybe Brian Robinson gets that extra week of rest and returns. This happened earlier in the year with a guy like Mike Evans. He had a hamstring injury and returned right after the bye week. It got him back to normal. But it is worth mentioning that either way, especially in 12-team leagues, Gibson should be rostered in every single league because he has been effective. Now, in this game, he ends up going for over 70 total yards, the most on the Commanders team against this Miami team when they were trailing. 14 total opportunities with Brian Robinson out. And look at this, 5 targets. He now has 4 more targets in 5 straight games. This team is getting down a lot. They're throwing a lot. That's why Gibson becomes appealing in some weeks, especially when there's bye weeks like this past week in week 6, because of his pass catching role. Now they do have this bye week, but coming out of the bye week, like we mentioned earlier with Curtis Samuel, there is a decent matchup. They'll face a Rams team that you can get through the air, so that helps Gibson as a receiver. But if he's going to get some touches on the ground, the rookie Chris Rodriguez will be involved, but you could probably expect a dozen or so carries on the ground if Robinson was to miss. So this isn't as good of an option, in my opinion, as maybe an Ezekiel Elliott or a Roschon Johnson in terms of having more longer term upside, but for a 1 week fill after the bye week, you could get something here. And you could also get some upside out of a player coming out of his bye week, the rookie in Jalin Hyatt, who's available in over 95% of fantasy leagues. Look, I get it. The offense is pretty atrocious, but a lot of people will forget that in week 12, Tommy DeVito was actually looking pretty good, especially when targeting Jalin Hyatt. Because in that week, Hyatt saw season high usage, 70% of the routes run, and an elite for a wide receiver like his stature, a speedster downfield, maybe elite to strong word. Anytime you hit 30%, that's elite. 26%, we can call great target share. 26%, a team high. Now, what does all of this lead to? All these percentages, these routes runs? Well, it led to a really strong game. Over 100 yards for him in this game. He ended up just missing a touchdown as well. 19 fantasy points paired up with Tommy DeVito, and he's going to come into this week with a decent matchup. Because Jalin Hyatt takes on a Packers secondary that has just been, honestly, beat up. They're playing well above what they should be playing. They held the Chiefs to a few amount of points, but that's a little bit skewed because there was not a lot of drives in that game, and Jaire Alexander has been missing time. Now, here's the thing to point out. In college, Jalin Hyatt operated out of the slot with Tennessee, and he would just basically go downfield out of the slot and win deep. And this really isn't translatable to the NFL, but now he's winning on the outside, and he leads the NFL on a smaller target share, but right now with 25 average target distance is insane. This probably won't stay this high, but it's just showing you that when he has a target, it's downfield, and some of them won't be converted, but when they are, they'll lead to big plays. Now, we mentioned the matchup against the Packers next, but for the rest of the season, he'll get a matchup against the Saints that are banged up. Marshawn Lattimore will still be on IR, their top cornerback for that week. A matchup against the Eagles, one of the weaker defenses in the secondary in the NFL, and then a matchup against the Rams that we talked about earlier, a weaker coverage team. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say Jalin Hyatt is great, Tommy DeVito is great. This is not a good situation, but when you're looking this late in the season for a wide receiver to add to your team, you're looking for guys who can earn targets and maybe they're younger players who are breaking out. And as of right now, Jalin Hyatt is fitting both of those molds. Now, this next guy is only fitting one of those molds because this guy is not young, but he is earning targets. And that'll be the 30-year-old, almost 31-year-old Devontae Parker, who, look, this has been a guy who's just dealt with so many injuries, a frustrating player, but we have to talk about what we just saw in week 13. Because if we're talking about a waiver wire video on how to make your roster stronger for the postseason or just get to the postseason in your fantasy league, we have to address this. And that's the fact that Bailey Zappe made his first start in week 13. And what did he do? Oh, he just basically had eyes for Devontae Parker. Look at this. Parker had a 38% target share, his highest on the season, his highest in over 3 years in his NFL career. He was earning almost every single target out there. And look, I completely understand that Demario Douglas, their previous month or so wide receiver one, he was out for this game. Kayshon Boutte, a rookie, was out for this game. And then you also had Ramondre Stevenson leave with injury. There wasn't a lot of target competition. It was like Juju, his biggest competition, Parker, in this game. But either way, moving forward, there's still not going to be that much target competition. Now, Parker took this usage, those nine targets, those nearly 40% target share, and he had a decent day. Four catches, 64 yards. He was missed on a couple of uncatchable targets that he could have brought in if they were just a little bit more accurate for probably 20 and 15 yard gains or so. The goal would be that those start to get hit, especially downfield, as Bailey Zappe gets more throws and experience under his belt. And this week is a good matchup for him. And really, for the rest of the season, he has okay matchups. A matchup against the Bills, a matchup against the Broncos. Now, this Broncos secondary, Patrick Surtain, they're not going to shadow Devontae Parker. They have been improving as of late, but it's still a winnable matchup. Just ask this past week's matchup and Nico Collins that question. And this week, a matchup against the Steelers on the road in terms of fantasy production, they are giving it up at a top 10 rate to opposing receivers. So Devontae Parker in your deeper leagues, definitely 14-man or league or bigger, deeper benches for 12-man leagues, he is worth at least adding or considering. And you should also seriously consider making a Prize Picks account, which over 10,000, nearly 20,000 people in our YouTube and Discord community have done. And you can check it out. It's very simple. You just say, okay, these stats you can see right here for Monday Night Football, this is when this is being recorded, but this could be for any sport. It could be for any week. You just take the more or less on what you think. Is it Joe Mixon going more or less than 20 receiving yards? ETN, you can see right here. They have a bunch of different stats. You can overall take picks for the rush attempts. You can take them for receiving yards, passing, whatever it might be, even defensive stats. It's a pretty simple game where you can take your fantasy knowledge and actually start to make some money off of that. And now, right now, our partners over at Prize Picks, if you sign up with the link in the description below or the QR code on the screen, you'll get a free bet up to $100. So what does that mean? If you put in 20 bucks, they'll give you 20 right back to use for a free bet all the way up to $100. So again, just scan the QR code on the screen or click the link in the description below to take advantage of that offer and get playing right now on Prize Picks with some picks. They've been partners of ours for 3 years. It's a ton of fun. You'll enjoy it. Go check it out. Now back to the players you should add, and you should consider adding Noah Brown, who obviously earlier this year was having some big weeks. Then he got hurt, and that means that he's now available in over 90% of fantasy leagues. Look, Brown didn't do anything this past week. He had like one catch on two targets. It wasn't anything fancy. But in his return from injury, according to our official data partners, Fantasy Life, you can see right here, he went back to his full-time role. 86% of the routes, not a lot of overall production, but the important thing, he led the Texans in snaps and routes run, and Tank Dell got hurt in this game and will miss the rest of the season. The exciting third-round rookie unfortunately fractured his tibia. Now he's not going to be a one-for-one replacement Noah Brown for Tank Dell. They have different skill sets, but overall the target share, yeah, it's probably going to get soaked up a decent amount by Noah Brown. And just as a reminder, in his games before injury in week 9 and week 10, when Nico Collins was out, so another good wide receiver on this team, you saw Noah Brown have 16% of the targets and 21% of the targets. And in these weeks, he crossed 150 yards in both games. And Noah Brown is clicking well with CJ Stroud downfield. Stroud's been great, obviously, if you've been paying attention this season, but also Noah Brown leads the NFL in yards per target and yards per reception. When he's being targeted, it is downfield. Again, like a Jalin Hyatt, this is not going to lead to a lot of receptions maybe in most weeks, but that could change with Tank Dell hurt. And also when it does connect on these targets, it's going to lead to big plays. Now, it might be more difficult for these big plays to occur this week because the Texans are decent favorites and it's not a good matchup. They'll go on the road against the Jets, who do have a nice secondary, a solid secondary, but I'm expecting Nico Collins to draw a lot of this attention, meaning Noah Brown should find some openings in the middle of the field and downfield at times in this game. So Brown is worth considering adding, especially because he has a nice playoff schedule where he'll face the Titans, which is a bottom five defense against fantasy receivers, twice in the postseason. Stash him. And if you're in need of a quarterback, maybe you have Kyler Murray on the bye this week, or just in general, you need a quarterback down the stretch since there were so many injuries earlier this year to quarterbacks. Well, Jameis Winston is interesting because Derek Carr left the past game with a serious shoulder injury, it seemed like, again this year, and it doesn't look like he'll play the upcoming week. We'll see once we get more news. Winston becomes an interesting streaming option if Carr was to go on IR or miss a lot of time because of his upcoming schedule. This week, he'll have a matchup against the Panthers, which is a very winnable matchup, then a matchup against the Giants' bottom five secondary, the Rams, that we've talked about multiple times being beatable, and then the Buccaneers, who so far this season are giving up the third most yards and fourth most points to opposing quarterbacks. This is one of the better schedules you're going to find for the fantasy postseason for Jameis Winston, who will sling that thing. So there's not much more to say here. He has Chris Olave healthy. He might get Rashid Shaheed back. And look, Jameis Winston is just somebody that you can rely on most weeks to give you a top 10 upside. That's the type of upside he has. Now, I must remind you, like I did last week, that Josh Palmer is a name you haven't really seen in 4 or 5 weeks because he's been on IR. There was a bye week in there, but he's expected to return from the IR this week, and he's available in over 70% of fantasy leagues. And look, the Chargers need this dude because obviously Mike Williams got hurt, and since then, they really don't have any other options. Their wide receiver 2 and 3s have been inconsistent. This past week was the first time in a while we saw Quentin Johnson do anything. 5 catches, 50 yards on 7 targets. Now it's just 10 fantasy points, and again, it hasn't been consistent. But since Josh Palmer took over once Mike Williams went down with injury, all he's done has been consistent for this team. You can see in week 3, 7 targets, then 8, then 7, then 7. Then he gets hurt in week 8, just 3, because he leaves the game early. So in that 4-game stretch, when he was healthy without Mike Williams and he took over here, 7 targets in every single game. And that ended up being a 20% target share or higher during that time, which is much better than what Quentin Johnson and Jalen Guyton have done on a week-to-week basis. And then you take a look at the Chargers' rest of season schedule, and it's good. Again, they're going to get the Broncos twice, once in the fantasy playoffs. The Broncos, again, their secondary has been improved, but it has still been very beatable. A great matchup against the Raiders on the road, and then a Bills team and a defense that has been banged up this year, struggling and giving up points to everybody. The Chargers get them at home. So Josh Palmer is an interesting option if your friends cut him, you didn't have an IR spot in your league, whatever it might be, to add, because he's available in almost 75% of them. And we do have some quick hitters for you of guys available in over 50% of leagues. A lot of these are well above 60 to 70% of leagues. The first one is Zach Ertz. He's now been released. He wants to play for a contender. There's interest from the Eagles. If they bring him back with Dallas Goedert hurt, that is interesting, maybe for a couple of weeks, but not a lot. If he goes to maybe a team like the Ravens, that hurts, say, Isaiah Likely, a second-year player, but it could help him a good amount. Ertz was earning a lot of targets at the beginning of this year before injury. He was earning a ton of targets last year, so I do still think he has some juice, especially in the red zone. Now, in your really deeper leagues, you have Xavier Gibson, who was basically a guy who made the team, one of the last guys on the roster. Then he was great on special teams. He had a kickoff return or a punt return touchdown earlier this year. Now he's being involved as a receiver as they just lack talent. Alan Lazard missed this game. Mecole Hardman was assigned or traded away back to the Chiefs, and he got a good amount of usage. Now, his quarterback situation, is it Trevor Siemian? Is it going to be Tim Boyle? We'll see. He got some targets from both of them, and he continues to make big plays when he gets targets. In your deeper leagues only, this is an interesting name. And so is Brevin Jordan, who had 3 catches for 64 yards, the third-year tight end for the Texans with Dalton Schultz out. Now, we'll see if Dalton Schultz is going to miss an extended period of time. If so, you can still just pick up and play Brevin Jordan. You also want to monitor the Seahawks situation because Zach Charbonnet got hurt in the last game. We've seen Kenneth Walker, what they're saying is a serious oblique injury, missed the last 2 games. We'll see if he could play this week. If so, you don't have to worry about DJ Dallas or anybody else in this backfield. But if both of those guys were to miss, yeah, DJ Dallas, not really an efficient player, but can catch some passes and he'd be the next man up. And speaking of next man up, I should point out Elijah Moore. Amari Cooper got banged up a couple times in the last game, and Elijah Moore earned 11 targets from his previous quarterback in seasons with the Jets and Joe Flacco, who he earned over 13 points per game with Joe Flacco, Mr. Elijah Moore, at least worth mentioning because he's available in like 50% of leagues. And we touched on this guy earlier, and that's Isaiah Likely. If Zach Ertz doesn't go there, I think Isaiah Likely is interesting. Now, in 2 games where Mark Andrews left early and then missed in week 12, he's ran over 80% of the routes. And in week 12, he had a nice 14% of the target share day. He had 4 catches, 40 yards or so. These are the type of performances when you get a touchdown with them. He's a top 5 tight end that week. He has the talent to do so. So these are the guys that you should consider. Not really any other players out there, maybe 1 or 2 if you're in a super deep league, but these are the names you want to consider as you're entering the fantasy postseason and making your push for the playoffs. Now, later this week, I'll be talking about some of the best matchups for the guys who are like flex options. Obviously, I'm not going to say Christian McCaffrey is a great matchup. You're starting him either way, but the guys that you might have to make a decision between, will break down who has the best matchups there to help you get to the fantasy postseason. And when that video comes out later this week, it will pop up right here. And by the way, again, if you're one of the 66% of people not subscribed to the channel and you made it all the way here, just take 2 seconds to double check and hit that subscribe button as we're pushing towards 100,000 subscribers. I appreciate you all a ton, and I'll see you in the next one.